For the past number of weeks, Pastor has been talking about the feasts and the festivals of Israel. Now, what did I say that was wrong? What did I just say that was wrong? They are the Lord's feasts. They're not Israel's feasts. They are God's feasts that God gave to Israel because God wanted to show them something. God wanted to illustrate something. And Moses was instructed in all of these various things, but one thing in particular of all that pastors talked about in the past, I want to consider just for a moment, was how do we read the scripture? Moses was given some pretty specific things to do and to say. Have we read them properly? Have we read them accurately? In Exodus 25, 9 and 40, the pattern of the tabernacle had to be followed exactly. Have you read your Bible wondering why the tabernacle had to be made so exactly? No deviations allowed, no changes in the blueprint, because it was pointing forward to Jesus Christ. And we'll just walk through this just for a moment. If you think of the tabernacle in the desert, it had the square, and there was one gate in the middle. Didn't Jesus say, I am the way? That's the door. You go inside that, you have the altar of burnt offering. That was where the bullock or the goats were taken, and they were slaughtered so that sins could be forgiven for a little while. Jesus says, I did it once. Then you go to the laver, this great big, I don't know what you want to call it, just a big bowl of water. So once you get through the gate, your sins are forgiven. Now you're going to be washed clean by the word. Now you go from that into the holy place. And when you get inside the holy place, you have the menorah on one side. You have the showbread on a table on the other side. And who is Jesus? He's the light of the world, and he's the bread of life. You go past that, and you come to the altar of incense. That's your prayers before God. It's offered up before God because there was the veil. Behind the veil is the holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is. So when you stand before God and we pray, it goes up like incense to God. The veil, well, the priest could go in once a year. But when Jesus died, the veil was removed because now we can go into the holy place with God anytime we want. So Moses was told, build it exactly as I'm telling you. Interesting. How have you read my Bible, our Bible lately? Have you picked up the little things that mean a lot? The Apostle Paul said that everything written before his time was written for our learning and our instruction and understanding. Paul said before his time, the scriptures were written. You see, the scriptures were not written in Paul's time, but the Old Testament area was. Paul referred to the Old Testament as the scriptures because the New Testament wasn't written at that point. Interesting. So whatsoever things were written before our time were written for our instruction. Interesting. Everything in Scripture is put there for a reason. Everything is there to teach us something. When it came to the tabernacle in the wilderness, God said repeatedly to build it according to his plans because it portrayed the coming Christ. And I know some of you have studied this, some of you haven't. But if you want a real interesting study, go in there and spend some time there. Dig it out. And you will see a greater picture of who Jesus is. We sung a song here, all to Jesus or all for Jesus, I surrender. He is all sufficient. He is the answer to everything. Scripture tells that. It says that. It's clear on that. So we must follow God's plans, his instructions on everything. I've gone through the physical dimensions of the tabernacle, but again, I want you to read a verse and remember, how are you reading things? In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scripture is given and is inspired of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Do you have difficult passages that you're really arguing with God over? I know I sure have over the years. But one thing the Lord showed my wife and I years ago was that if you find a difficult passage, keep reading, keep studying, you will find an answer for it. You will always find an answer to a question. When Scripture raises an issue in your mind, God will provide an answer to that question. Because the Bible is God's Word. We think of, like, I could talk to you and words come out of my mouth. Not only did words come out of God's mouth, but those words were written down. God made sure we got it both ways. We got it both ways. He wants us to look at his word very, very carefully. Now, here's a verse that is prophetic that I've never heard it talked about, Bible studied, or anything, but I want you to listen carefully. In Psalms 86:9, if we read it carefully, it says this: all nations shall come before God to worship him. Has that been fulfilled yet? Not yet. Not yet. So what's going on in the world today? This has yet to happen. And it's going to happen because God's word says it will. If you read the details, it says, all nations shall come before God to worship him. When do you think that's going to happen? There's a thing called the millennial reign of Christ, isn't there? That has yet to happen. At that point, all nations are required to come to Jerusalem to worship the King of Kings, which is the Lord himself. Then there's another one that, like I say, what I'm trying to impress this morning is, how are we reading Scripture? Are the little things being missed, or are we picking up on them? Because what Pastor's been teaching over the number of weeks is, know what you're reading. Know what you believe. Understand what you believe. It's so important in today's world because false doctrines are everywhere. And if you don't know your word, you're going to get caught up in some of it. Over the years, we had the opportunity to help people come out of the Jesus movement back in the 70s and 80s. How many of you remember that time? Sure. Doctrines were crazy. People misuse Scripture in a terrible way. And we had the pleasure of sitting them down and saying, this is right, this is wrong. And today they're serving the Lord in tremendous ways. Because their heart was right. They just had wrong ideas. Listen to this. In Psalms 89:4, and this is an interesting one, your seed will I establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. Have you read that lots? I'm sure lots of people have read the Psalms over and over again. Your seed is singular. It's not plural. I will establish it forever. This is to do with David's line, okay? Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. His family lineage is from David's line, King David's line. King David was promised that his lineage would never end. Jesus is the fulfillment of that. So I encourage you to put two and two together and you come up with something pretty neat. God's word will always come through. Here's another one, 89:9 in Psalms. You rule the raging sea, and when its waves arise, you still them. The disciples had that happen to them, didn't they? They did. They were panicking over the rough waves, and Jesus said, be still. Come on, you guys, calm down, he says. And the waves were calm. Psalms 89:9 was prophetic. And Jesus fulfilled that at one time in one place. Not everywhere all over the place, one time. You see, when you read Scripture, and I encourage you, is be very careful. Go slow, go deliberate, and make notes if you have to. Take your time, and if you have a problem, like I said, write it down. Here's another one in Psalms 89:26. He shall cry to me, my Father, you are my God and the rock of my salvation. I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Who's that in reference to? That's in reference to Jesus. He shall cry unto me, my Father, you are my God, the rock of my salvation. I will make him my firstborn. And that word firstborn means preeminent one, higher than the kings of the earth. This goes in conjunction with Peter's confession of who he said Jesus is. In Matthew 16, 18, the rock is our salvation, not Peter the man. The church is built on the rock, which is Jesus, not a man. That verse has been often misquoted over and over and over again. The rock is Jesus. The scripture says the rock followed Israel during their 40 years in the desert. Jesus followed Israel, never left them. And the word salvation, which is also the word Yeshua, is found 119 times at least that I found in the Old Testament. Amazing. So when you take your time, and I really encourage you with the system the pastor's going through, take his notes home and comb them very carefully, comb them slowly, and you will find a gold mine that even he wasn't thinking about. Because that's the nature of Scripture. In Isaiah 61:10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with, here it comes, the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and a bride adorns herself with jewels. Who gives us robes of righteousness? Jesus does, again. You see what you can find when you read carefully and slowly. And that's where I really want to encourage you that in the Old Testament, Christ is revealed. Or concealed, pardon. He's concealed. In the New Testament, he is revealed. So when you read things in the Old Testament, expect to find it fulfilled in the New. And then the songs that we sung this morning are going to mean so much more to you. They're going to mean, oh, that touched my heart, Daryl, wherever you are. God bless you because you had the leading of the Lord over that today. Very much so. God says, I'm all around you, but understand my word, and I'm so much more than you know. Here's an interesting one that I really would like you to get a hold of and just hang on to and enjoy. In John chapter 7, Jesus' brothers, that's his earthly brothers because he had several of them, tried to get him to show himself openly, but Jesus said at that moment his time had not come. His brothers went to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Tabernacles, but he stayed back at this time. Jesus waited until it was halfway through that week, and then he went up to the temple and he taught in the temple. He went on his timing, not his brother's timing. So important to keep in mind that God's timing may not be ours. But then in verse 37, it says that in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood, made a bit of a scene here, and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, now he's referring the Old Testament part again because the New Testament had not been written. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spoke this about the Spirit, which they who believed on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because he had not been glorified as yet. The scripture here is, of course, from the Old Testament. Now, a little later on, we find out that the rulers of the temple had rejected Jesus and his statement. So the next day, when this woman who was supposedly caught in adultery was brought to him, for his opinion of the matter. So they said she was caught in the very act. Well, where's the man? It takes two to tango, right? Interesting. But instead of answering them, he wrote in the dust. He wrote on the ground. Interesting. That should make your mind start asking questions. What did he write? Remember, nothing in Scripture is there by accident or mistake. Every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, so people wrote what God told them to write. So here this woman is brought to him. The rulers say, what do you think we should do with her? Because, you know, the law says she needs to be stoned. Jesus never answered them. He just knelt down and wrote in the dust. Years ago, I found a verse in Jeremiah 17:13 that people scoffed when I first used to mention it. And then as of in the last number of years, people have said, yes, it's a direct reference to it. So if you want to write this down, Jeremiah 17:13. O Jehovah, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Remember Jesus said, I am the fountain of living water. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Jehovah, the fountain of living waters. Jesus quoted that verse and says, I am that fountain. And they rejected him. So he stooped down, wrote their names in the sand, in the dust. And hearing and being convicted by conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the oldest unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing there. The oldest, what they mean here, is the most experienced rabbi or Sadducee would leave first because they're the leaders. Then it went down to the junior guy, then he would leave. They were all embarrassed and convicted because Jesus was proclaiming, oh, your name's here because you rejected me. Oh, your name's here because you rejected me. Jesus made it public that those who rejected the fountain of living waters had their names written in the dust of the earth because Jeremiah said it was going to happen. And the interesting thing with Scripture being fulfilled, it doesn't have to be on a big screen, a big area. This was one little meeting, one place, with a certain number of people, and Scripture was fulfilled. God doesn't need big crowds all the time when he does something. So Jesus had just brought Jeremiah's prophecy to completion in one place at one time in history. If you ask, the Holy Spirit will open God's word to you. I want to show you something here. God opened up my wife's heart a number of years ago, and this is the book she wrote on the three fall feasts. You talk about God opening up someone's heart. This is a 525-page book that she wrote on the fall feasts, the three feasts Pastor talked about. When you ask the Holy Spirit to inspire you, things will happen. This took her months and months and months and months. When it was done, we had pastors tell her, you're off the wall, don't bother me with such nonsense. We had that happen. Now people recognize that when we're talking about the four feasts in the spring and the three in the fall, it's a reality. And they don't do that anymore. She was way ahead of her time when she wrote that book, but you know what? What she did, God inspired her to get writing, and God showed and helped her. There is one place where, when she was writing, she wasn't sure if her mental processes were right. Again, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. She got in touch with a senior rabbi in New York and explained to her how she was thinking and was her, the way she was coming at her thought process, was it even right? At the end of their time, he said, you're right on, continue. For a Gentile, you're right on. That floored all of us. This is what God will do if you will allow him to get into you. So I encourage you, don't hesitate. Don't be afraid to let the Spirit of God go to work on you. Give him everything you've got and then go for it. And I'll pause with one thing. If there's anyone listening online or even here that has never accepted Jesus Christ and you're wondering why I'm talking this way, you say, well, maybe Christ is real, maybe he's not, maybe it's a figment of, you know, a bunch of religious fanatics. What's this inspiration that you're talking about? What is all this? This is the works of Flavius Josephus, who was a Jewish historian during the time of Christ. He was literally alive, and this is a copy of his works. And I just want to read one thing that shows you, if you have any doubts about the person and work of Jesus Christ, listen to this, if I can read it, it's small writing. Now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man. For he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as had veneration for truth. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. Flavius Josephus was alive during the time of Christ. He saw him. He listened to him. He probably followed him around from time to time. But Josephus is a respected, well-quoted historian of the Jewish people. He said Jesus lived. Jesus had all kinds of followers, and he did wondrous works that were too many to write down. If you will let the Spirit of God get inside you, and I encourage you, don't be afraid of it. God is a God of order. He's a God of peace, all right? And he will take you to greater depths and bigger heights. In Joshua 21:45, here's the promises that God gave to Joshua, okay? Inspiration here. Not a word failed from any good thing which Jehovah had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. There's confidence in this. There's confidence in who you pray to. There's confidence in this. And in today's mixed up world, there's going to be many false Christs. There's going to be many false prophets. And we need to know this to know him. And so with what Pastor has been doing, I have been thrilled to it, because Christ is concealed in the old, revealed in the new, and he's trying to show us how encompassing he really is. Matthew 3:6 says, "For I am Jehovah, I change not." Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We can count on him never changing. Isn't that fantastic? Oh, I think it is, folks. In this world, we had peace in the Middle East one day and war the next. Look what's going on in the Ukraine. I mean, there's been several coups in Africa. Everything is changing, but God never changes. Amen. And we had songs this morning that just thrilled my heart. God will come in, God will renovate, and God will rebuild, because that's what he wants to do with every one of us. Truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle of the law shall in any wise pass away till everything's fulfilled. Now, I know there's someone here who could really have fun with this. Isn't that right, Roy? And you know, not one little thing in Scripture, the littlest piece of the Hebrew language that has to do with God's revelation will be lost. We may have different versions, and so maybe there's little things we question, but God's word will not suffer loss on any level until everything has been revealed. That's his promise. So in today's mixed up world, you can grab onto that as an anchor and hang on it. You can hold to it. For I testify together to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that have been written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from things which have been written in this book. God says, don't tamper with my word. I love that. It's stable, it's solid, and you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. We're going to come to communion here in a moment. I wanted to blend this in with it, because the songs that were sung this morning, I just feel the Spirit of God moving here. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And we prayed for people. A praying church goes a long ways. And I wanted to just slide in with the communion, because this is what Jesus went through for us, for each one of you. And many of you, maybe your health isn't good, maybe it is good. It doesn't matter. Jesus never changes. He's always there, and he'll be there for you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And in today's mixed up world, we need to hang on that, oh, so strongly. So I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward who are going to help with this morning. And just keep a remembrance that this is outside biblical evidence that Jesus walked the earth. So if somebody's watching online or maybe here and they've never made a commitment to the Lord, get your life right with a living, real God. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. And he'll never forsake you. This is extra biblical evidence that Jesus walked the earth, and he is real then and he is now. Apostle Paul was not one of the current disciples. He was a latecomer. And the Lord had to show him some pretty fantastic things. And what we're going to call communion, the Last Supper, is one of those things that he showed him. And he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you." He received the whole picture by divine revelation from God. Okay. "And I delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Okay, he took bread. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" This is not the literal blood and the literal body of Christ. It is a remembrance of what he did. These are tokens. It keeps us in our mind. Because Jesus said, "As often as you do it in remembrance of me." Jesus died once, not every month. He died once and that was it. And these emblems are just that. They're just emblems of what he did. They remind us of what he did. "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Folks, what we call the New Testament did not happen until Christ died. When Christ rose from the grave, that's when what we call the New Testament era began. Jesus died under the law on Passover. But when he rose from the grave, that was the new era that he had fulfilled all of Scripture. So when you slowly read Scripture, make notes if you have to, but read it carefully. "So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." It's a remembrance. And we are proclaiming, if there's people here that have never accepted the Lord, what we're doing by this, we are saying Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose from the dead, and we believe in him, and we're going to do this until we're taken home to glory. That's what we're going to do. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not understanding what the Lord went through." So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he is real. He is alive. And he has shown himself to many people down through the ages. This is a remembrance service of what he did for us so many years ago. And we're going to keep doing it until Jesus comes. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I'll ask the brethren to get ready here. And we will all ask you to come forward. And we will partake or take your emblems. And then once everybody has it, we'll partake together. So let's just open this part in prayer. Lord, as your people come, and Lord, we remember what you did for us. Oh God, the price you paid. The price you paid. For us, it's free. But Lord, it cost you your life. So Father, these emblems represent what you went through. Lord, as people come, oh, touch hearts and minds and souls, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So just come forward and then you can take your emblems back to your seat. Then when everybody's has it, that's when we will partake together.